If you have a Bible, please open to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And while you are turning there, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for in your Son taking on flesh, human flesh, so that we might have one who in his body, in that body, could bear away our sins. Father, the lengths that you went through, your Son and your Spirit, to make it possible for us to know forgiveness of sin and to know a new life to live in Jesus is amazing. It's extravagant love. It is love that goes beyond our words and description. And so, Father, we humble ourselves in your presence as a church, as those who claim to follow Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves under your word, and we now, Father, as we turn to you, we want your word to help guide our hearts so that we are ready to remember Jesus as we eat bread and drink juice and remember his death for us. So please draw near to us as we draw near to you. We need you. We are easily those who go astray and we wander. We are easily distracted. And what we plead for now is for a heart that is singularly minded, secure in us even in this moment, undistracted devotion to Jesus. Let us see him and what he has done for us in the gospel of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and following is where we'll be as we just prepare our hearts for the Lord's table this morning. In these last remaining verses of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter brings his instructions to believers on righteous suffering. He brings it to a close. Believers, Peter has said, are not to suffer for doing what is wrong. When you suffer for doing what is wrong, that's the way it's supposed to be. But he has been trying to encourage them that they may be suffering for doing what is right in the world, in following Jesus. And so verses 21 down to 24 is a call for us to look to Jesus as our example for suffering. Look at verses 21 to 23. For you have been called for this purpose, believer, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And then he's going to describe Jesus for us. Who is this Jesus? Well, he's the one who committed no sin. Nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And he is the one who, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And then in verse 24, Peter distracts us with the suffering that Jesus experienced at the cross that actually surpasses all of the other suffering he experienced at the hands of sinful men as he was beaten and then as he was crucified. Jesus suffered under the weight of our sin and God's wrath as a substitute in our place. This suffering is what we need to consider this morning as we prepare for communion. Look at verse 24. And he is the one who himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. These are the best words and the best news in the world for you today. That Jesus bore our sins means that he carried away from God's sight our sin. And God makes it clear that only Jesus himself could do that. You cannot take your sin out of God's sight. You cannot do anything to make that possible. And nobody else can do that for you. No family member, no church leader, nobody. Only Jesus and him alone can bear away in his body on the cross our sins. And he did it in his body. He had to become flesh so that in his fleshly body he could carry all of our sin out of the Father's sight. And this took place on the cross. This is where that carrying away of sin took place. Now, why? Why did Jesus do this? Well, there are many important reasons and purposes from Scripture that are given to us. For instance, forgiveness of sin. He did this. He bore away in his body on the cross our sins so that we might be forgiven. Forgiveness of sin comes no other way than that. But Peter's emphasis here in verse 24 is on another reason. And he states it negatively and then positively. Look at verse 24. Jesus carried away our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin. What does that mean? It means that he carried away our sin in his body on the cross so that our relationship to sin would be fundamentally changed. Fundamentally changed. Scripture in other places teaches what this dying to sin means, that it means that we are no longer slaves to sin. Though we may still be influenced by sin in this life, we have had our relationship with sin so fundamentally changed that sin can no longer exercise its lordship over us. I cannot make that happen for me. You cannot make that happen for you. Only Jesus brings this into effect. Positively, what does it mean? Jesus carried away our sin from God's sight in his body on the cross so that your relationship then to righteousness would also be fundamentally changed forever. He did this so that we might live to righteousness. You see, you need, you used to be, believer, spiritually dead to God and to his righteous requirements for you in Jesus Christ. But now, because Jesus died and bore away your sins, you are now alive to God's righteousness. And you did not bring that into effect through good works or anything that you did. Jesus did it when he carried away your sin on the cross. And this radical change brought to you by Jesus' death is your healing. Look at verse 24. For by his wounds you were healed. So believer, you were saved by his wounds, his suffering. You were healed by his suffering in your place. And communion is a time for believers to examine themselves and then to remember Jesus' death at the cross. And communion is for those who have cast their all on what this verse says. That's who communion is for. The one who has cast his or her all on what verse 24 says. So believer, examine yourself this morning and where sin comes to mind, remember Jesus suffering in your place for sin. Remember him bearing away that sin in his body on the cross. Remember that. But also remember that your relationship to both sin and to righteousness has been fundamentally altered by Jesus' death for you. And so this is a great opportunity, believer, this morning to trust afresh that what Jesus says here is true for you. As you face a brand new week in front of you, trust God that you have from him everything that you need to turn away from your sin and to walk obediently to him in righteousness. Resolve afresh this morning as you spend some time preparing your heart. Resolve afresh this morning to live obediently to Jesus on the basis of what Jesus did in his death to change your relationship to sin and to righteousness. So, confess your sin this morning and remember Jesus' death and trust God that his transformation that he says he brings is true, it's real, it's in effect, and it's dependable. With that in mind, you eat and you drink. If this morning you don't see your own sin as a problem in God's eyes. Or if you are unaware of your need for Jesus Christ to bear away your sin from the Father's sight. Or if you do not, you have not been fundamentally changed toward your sin and toward God's righteousness, then just let the trade pass you by. But I just encourage you to listen very carefully this morning. You're going to hear seven amazing sermons on what Jesus Christ does to save sinners. Talk with somebody about faith in Jesus Christ before you leave today. So men, will you please come and you serve us? When you have had enough time to prepare your heart, take it on your own, and I'll come back up in a moment and we'll pray together.